Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Glad to be with you, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be. Customer service means everything to them because they'll do everything they can to save you money while making sure you're fully insured. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Okay, so the All-Star break is over for the NBA. They actually get back to work. Kanye Clary dismissed from the Penn State basketball program. That is a... Mike made the announcement today. And that'll be the one that people go, whoa, really? And when a team's leading scorer is dismissed, okay. Yeah. But I understand... I'll put it this way. I understand completely why Mike did it. That, I'll leave it that. I'm around it all the time. And I understand why he did it. It is President's Day. That means Dallas and the Bruins are tied 1-1 end of one. That's the afternoon game. Spring training gets rolling today. Red Sox Orioles? No, it comes up on. No, it's on Saturday, so not today. And the Daytona 500 is today. And then there's UConn basketball. And I don't mean women's basketball. I mean men's basketball. There is a unanimous number one, and it is UConn. UConn faced then fourth-ranked Marquette, which is now number seven, and absolutely ran them out 81-53. And... they've won 14 straight games. And they're playing great. I mean, not good basketball. They're playing great basketball right now. I mean, to the point where at this stage, and I felt this maybe 3 weeks ago when they were just starting to get into this, I'm thinking to myself, I don't think any team can beat this group. I mean, they're just really, really good.
Especially when you see what happens when Purdue doesn't make threes this weekend.
Right. Well, I mean, it's part of it. But Tristan Newton, playing great. Okay? They got Cam Spencer. Right? Again, guy I've seen before. Right? Donovan Klingon. They're really, really playing well. And that's the, and they play together. I mean, UConn's now three games up on Marquette in the Big East. Guess what? Hey, Marquette's in second place.
I think I saw yesterday it was the highest margin of victory between two top five teams.
Amazing. They play great defense. And remember, Marquette's offense is tremendous. Not just good, they're tremendous. And the two teams are going to play again on March 6th. They're going to play in Milwaukee. But if they were to do this, and say they were to go back-to-back, and I don't know if they will or not. We'll have to find out how, you know, how healthy they stay and, you know, what kind of draw they get in the NCAAs. But remember, January 25th last year, since that point, since January 25th, 2023, UConn's 39-4. Now, they got Creighton coming up in Omaha on Tuesday night. And I'm going to take a long look at that game because I have watched some of UConn, but I'm going to have to watch a lot more. They are, look, in a sport that will tell you that Duke is the dominant team, the dominant program, in a sport that they'll tell you North Carolina is a dominant program, in a sport they'll tell you that Kentucky is the dominant program. Okay. If UConn were to win a national championship this year, that would mean they would have six. Guess how many Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky have combined for since 1999? Six. North Carolina's won three, Duke two, Kentucky one. If UConn were to do that, they'd have as many national championships as the combined three. It's almost like people don't want to admit it. In the last 25 years, this has been the best basketball program on the men's side in the country. And they made the right move, by the way, leaving the American, which is where that was the one part where, like UConn basketball was lost in the wilderness. And Benedict, the athletic director, said, you know what, the heck with this. We got to get out of it. And he brought the team back to the Big East. Wow. And that was the big move right there. In other words, part of what you're doing is you have to sit back and ask yourself, as an athletic department, who are we? And I give him credit. I know in this world where you've got to make a football move, make a football move, make a football move, which I understand because that is where the money is, but not in the American Conference. Being a football team in the American makes this decision a little easier. You don't get the money that you're getting in the Big Ten. You don't get the money you're getting in the SEC. Right? You are, per school, you're getting less than $10 million per school in your TV deal. I think it's about 7 or 8 or something like that. I think. If I'm wrong, somebody can more than happy to have them correct me on that. But that is, they made a decision that, quote, we need to go back to who we are. That means going back to the Big East. And here they are. Look what they've done with Dan Hurley in charge. They went back to their roots. They went back to who they are. And they said, you know what? We'll let football survive. But this is at UConn. This is who we are. And look at the dividends they're getting from it, from being who they are. Now, other schools can't do that. I mean, you would never ask USC or UCLA or Oregon or Washington to turn down the Big Ten. Never. I'm telling you right now, UConn would not turn down the Big Ten. But because they can't seem to find a home, this is the best way to do it. And they found the best way to be a great program because that's who they are. They're not a great football program. They know it, but they can be a great basketball program, and that's how they're trying to figure out how to make ends meet by doing it that way. And, you know, that's, and they're the number one team in the country. And remember, when they ran last year to the national championship, every game was a double-digit margin. It wasn't close. It wasn't close. All right. Dallas Stars Bruins 1-1 start of the second. Anaheim end of two leads at Buffalo 4-3. Leafs lead the St. Louis Blues 1-0 13 minutes ago in the second period. And Vancouver, I know you're a big Canucks fan, leading the Minnesota Wild in St. Paul 1-0 4 minutes into that one. And how about yesterday, Ohio State beating Purdue? Again, the inability to hit threes costs them in a game like that. And the big news of the day here is Kanye Clary, officially no longer with the Penn State basketball team. It was Mike Rhodes' decision. And that's, you know what? That is Mike's prerogative, right? As to how it's played out. And watching it play out, taking everything into account. Okay, as I said earlier, so it'll bear repeating. As somebody who's around practices all the time, somebody who's around film sessions all the time, somebody who travels with them all the time, right? Can I see the reasons why Mike came to the decision he did? And the answer is yes. And that's not saying at all that he's a bad kid. That I will never say that about him. He's a fine kid. No, okay. But there are other reasons behind this. And it's up to Mike to talk about it, not me. That's Mike's, it's Mike's the head coach. Mike has to be the spokesperson in this as to how much he wants to talk about and not. And believe me, Mike's not going to talk about it a lot. He's not. But he made his decision, and that's it.
I know when the Kansas State guy was dismissed in November, he was eligible right away. When he went to Memphis, Kanye wouldn't be able to transfer and get in somewhere before the end of the season, would he?
No.
All right, I didn't think so.
No, not at this stage. That because the player was able to do that because the semester had not started yet.
Okay.
And that's a big part of it. Good question, though. People probably do wonder that, but with the semester already started, because there's certain every school has their own on entrance, late ad drop whatever. Penn State has there's dates that the university has that every university has that has to
I guess my other question would be, are there any schools that still do that weird three-semester thing where they have that short winter thing in January? Because Bucknell used to do that a long time ago.
Yeah, the trimesters.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only one I remember in the Big Ten that was on what would be called the quarter system was Ohio State, and they changed the semesters.
Yeah.
And when I went to Penn State, it was trimesters or quarters. And then they changed it over. So I don't think there's anybody left in the Big Ten that is a trimester or quarters system. Let me just see here. Which universities...
It always used to be amusing because you could always tell the kids that went to Bucknell around here because they were always the last ones at the basketball games in late January, early February.
It says, which universities are on the quarters system? Okay. So, semester versus quarter. Okay, list of colleges on quarter. This goes back a couple of years, so I apologize. Maybe some of these aren't. Okay. Colleges and universities on quarter system. Okay. This is as of the end of last year. Let's see. Four-year quarter system universities and colleges. Troy University in Alabama. Stanford. UC Irvine, UC Davis, UC Santa Barbara, UCLA, San Diego, San Francisco, Riverside, Santa Cruz, Bakersfield. I mean, I'm talking about those who play the sport. I'm not going to tell you about Loma Linda. University of Denver.
Seems to be a lot of something in common there. There's a lot of California schools
there. Well, that's the Cal system.
Yeah.
Oh, those are all the Cal system schools. You know, Stanford obviously is not, but yeah.
Stanford isn't taking transfers anyway, so.
No. Yeah. But you know what's interesting? Who's not on here? Is Cal Berkeley. Okay. DePaul in Chicago. Northwestern. Let's see, Michigan, nobody. Minnesota, nobody. I mean, there are a couple, like, you know. I mean, you want to go to Capella? Believe it or not, our favorite unionized group, Dartmouth. University of Oregon and Eugene is. Oregon State and Corvallis. Portland State, they all play. Drexel is the only, in Pennsylvania, it's only Drexel and Mercyhurst. Virginia, nobody. Strayer, you know, and Herndon, no. In the state of Washington, the University of Washington, Seattle is quarters. Seattle University, quarters. Not Washington State, though, and Wisconsin, no. So, I mean, that's it. A very limited number that are on the quarter system. There you go. Almost everybody's on the semester system, right? Including almost every Power Five school. And a couple in there. You know, UCLA and Northwestern and so forth. Stanford didn't take transfers. I don't think they take any, right? Stanford doesn't take transfers.
One of the things I was reading when they were switching the football job last year is that something that they were considering, I'm not sure if they have decided or if they were going to or not.
Right.
Because they're not real into the NIL either.
I think the thought process there is a Stanford degree will take care of your NIL.
They're probably not wrong.
All right, we'll take a break. Yeah, I'm sure that's the thought process. How true it is, I don't know. You know, I mean, but we'll continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I did not see it because I was driving, but I did not see Sabrina Ionescu and Steph Curry. I heard nothing but good things about it in their three-point shootout. Yeah, it's all for fun. And, I mean, it sounds like it ended up being a pretty good duel between the two. But that's only just being told about it. I never saw a single shot. But I think it's fun that they did it. And I think it's something they should continue to do. And it's great for basketball. It's really great for the WNBA. And she went out there and, from all accounts, did a great job. You expected Steph Curry to do a great job, you know, and this could be a case where, like, you get into a situation like this. She obviously is somebody that is not affected by nerves. She's like, all right, here we go, you know?
You know, in the end, it's basketball. I mean, it's shooting the basketball, and it's something she's really good at. So I assume that that helps with the nerves.
Right. No, I mean, but again, you know, look, you don't think there are a lot of people saying you got to do well in this thing.
Oh,
right.
Wow, they were already poo-pooing how well she did after it was over.
Well, they shouldn't. I mean, look, she did great. And, you know.
You know, it's one of those things that is that I don't get a chance to watch much of it just because it doesn't work out much with my other work schedule, so I didn't see much of it either. But it did sound like it was good. I think people were disappointed in the dunk contest again, but you know, you don't get when they're going into the G League to get competitors and you can't get some of the All-Stars to do it. I get it.
Yeah. Again, I didn't see it, so my ability to comment on it would be unfair to the audience. I'm just saying, by all the accounts I read, she did so well that it's something that should be a permanent part of the weekend, because it sounds like of the weekend, it was the single most intriguing thing that happened.
Yeah, that's damning it with faint praise, though.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And today's show, every Monday, brought to you by our great friends at Prudy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. You know what? They're really great people. You're around them for 5 minutes, like, these are great people. And guess what? Customer service means everything to them because they are great people. And they're the pros in insurance. So whether it's auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be, they will put your needs first and do whatever they can to make sure you're A, fully insured, but B, also make sure that they can save you money wherever they can. It is all at Prudy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Kanye Clary officially dismissed from the Penn State basketball team. And Mike Rhodes made that decision. I completely understand, as somebody who's around it all the time, why Mike made the decision. And I also point out that I personally like Kanye and think he is a great kid. But things happen in the heat of competition. And in the end, Mike made the decision that moving forward, it was best for the program that they move forward without him. But, you know,
what does this kind of mean basketball-wise for the team? I mean, we kind of saw, you know, what they did without him a couple weeks ago.
Well, what it means is Ace is going to have to play 38 to 40 minutes a game. They really don't have, I mean, if anybody is a backup point guard, it's probably Raquandis Mitchell. If Ace were to get into foul trouble, that's probably who they would turn to. It would be Ray Q. Ace played all but a couple of minutes the other day, and that was near the end. And he doesn't mind the workload, but at the same time, even Ace looked tired on Saturday at Nebraska. And they had yesterday off, so they won't practice until today. And then tomorrow they're going to practice in Rec Hall for the first time, because they haven't even put the court down. I mean, they're in the process of putting the court down now. They can't just go into Rec Hall and practice. They have to put the court down, and they put the baskets up. There's a lot of things they have to do to get ready for the game. But that's one thing, is that right away, it means Ace is going to have to play 38 to 40 minutes a game. That's just going to be a standard from here on out. And then what you do with the rotation is going to be one where it's going to be a question of other people you bring in there with him, but it also means that a lot of times Ace is going to have to be the one bringing the ball up. When Kanye and Ace were together out there, you could rotate who brought the ball up, which would then at least give the other one a chance to have their legs as things went. That's why, you know, you'll have somebody else bring the ball up. because that way the other person didn't have to work their guts out to get the ball over the half-court line to get the offense started. Then also moving forward, what does it mean? You're losing what was as high as 19 points a game, so you do have to overcome that. But at the same time, as a defender, he's got a long, long way to go. I'm just talking from a basketball point of view. I mean, I've talked about everybody on, like, how are they as a player. I've talked about Steph Curry, great offense, great shooter. Nobody's better at layups than he is. At the same time, he's a defensive liability. Okay? Right? That's not being cruel. That's just me analyzing basketball. Okay? I mean, I've talked about Caitlin Clark. What have I said about her? Unbelievable range, great show person, great in the game, the whole deal, free throws, what a passer, incredible. And defensively, they do a good job of hiding her. Like, I'm just doing it from a basketball point of view. I'm not being critical of people. I mean, my goodness, there aren't a lot of perfect basketball players out there. So when I look at him, I mean, what's the weakest part of his game? Weakest part of his game easily is playing defense. Okay? So they're going to have to move on without him. You'll have a little more size in the backcourt because of it. Now, DeMarco Dunn has actually played pretty well and has become a little bit better defender as time has gone. So he'll continue to start in that spot. Nick will continue to start. Kern up front with Hicks and Wahab. And it's going to depend on how the bench goes for you. I mean, Puff Johnson's back and playing a little bit more right now. Jameel Brown is playing a little bit more right now. What, if anything, you want to do with Ray Q? Mitchell, I don't know. Because he's been in and out of the lineup. They gave him a shot to play a little bit against Rutgers. He's struggled a little bit with a couple of things. But you're going to have a shorter bench, and you're going to have people logging a lot of minutes down the stretch because of this. But in the end, you can't have... You need unanimity in the locker room. And a program cannot survive if there's a division starting to occur in a locker room. How about that? All right? And you go from there.
I mean, on the surface, you kind of feel the phrase seems a little odd here, but a little better about it. Like we said, is just because they played well that stretch that he was injured, and hopefully, again though, the way you talk about having Ace bring the ball up and being 38-40 minutes, he's, at this point in the season, he's probably already tired, and that's not going to help a lot.
I mean, he's the kind of guy that, for the most part, is not one that lapses toward fatigue. But when you play 4 out of 6 on the road, now they got both games at home this week. Illinois, which will run, and rebound in Rec Hall on Wednesday, and then you have Indiana here Sunday at noon. So you do have that. Now next week you got to go to Iowa, you got to go to Minnesota. It's amazing how the three trips in a row Penn State has happen to be the three longest trips of the year in the current version of the Big Ten, at Nebraska, at Iowa, at Minnesota. Okay. So that, that'll be a little tougher, especially considering the Iowa thing. You're going to get back at, my guess is we're getting back at between 3:45 and 4:30 in the morning. It's a 9:00 Eastern time game. I mean, so that becomes, difficult at this time of the year. I mean, you can't make excuses. Nobody wants to hear excuses. That's why I always tell everybody, I'll be speaking to groups that, well, we don't want to hear excuses. I said, yes, but I'm here to give you reasons. Oh.
Okay.
Reasons are not an excuse. There are reasons. And that's where they are. It's interesting. I was thinking about this, and I was talking to Dick Girardi the other day. I know in today's world, The transfer portal is so important. Right, it's just the way it is. But for Penn State in basketball, so let's get to the basketball part of it for a moment. Because of the changes in coaches, and I don't just mean from Shrews to Mike. And that's not completely what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about from Pat Chambers, then suddenly it's Jim Ferry, and then it's Micah Shrewsbury, and then it's Mike Rhodes. Well, this is all since the end of the 2000 season. Penn State has lost in its entirety two of the last three recruiting classes that have verbally committed to Penn State. And while one was verbally committed to Penn State, and the other one, three guys had signed and then were subsequently allowed to transfer when Penn State changed coaches. And it's hard today, especially in a program like Penn State, where development is critical. It's really difficult to go about your job with the transition in coaching staffs and to completely lose two of your last three recruiting classes. And then the other one you had, you've now lost 60% of that one, Demetrius Lillie and Jameel Brown. Demetrius Lillie and Jameel Brown are the only two players in the last 3 years that are still with Penn State. And the other, I mean, Kanye, of course, is gone. Kevin Jai ended up at Notre Dame. Evan Mahaffey ended up at Ohio State. The other six never set foot on campus to take class. I mean, for a program like Penn State, that's hard. So let's go back to last year's NCAA tournament team. What does that mean? Well, who were two of the absolutely critical players last year in helping Penn State get to the second round of the NCAA tournament? Seth Lundy and Miles Dredd. Yes, Pickett was a second-team All-American. Yes, Andrew Funk made a huge difference. Yes, Cam Winter hit some big shots down the stretch. But Lundy and Dredd were two of the veterans that just made plays for you over and over again. Lundy ended up being a second-round draft pick. They were both recruited by Pat Chambers. In Micah's first year, who was the player in a lot of ways that kind of bailed out situations for Penn State all season long? John Hara, who was a long-term recruit going back to the Pat Chambers era. And that's my point about what long-term guys can mean. Long-term guys help develop as players and also help develop your culture. And those guys were long-term guys that helped out. There are no long-term guys on this team. None. Zero. Because of the last 11 recruits that have verbaled or signed with Penn State, they've lost nine of them. Six that never came to campus because when Pat Chambers was released, the three that verbally committed all said no and went other places. Last year's recruiting class had signed, but when Micah took the job at Notre Dame, they all went with him to Notre Dame. And then, of course, I talked about Mahaffey, Kanye, and Keba. That's your last 11 recruits. And it's something that, I realize the transfer portal, you're supposed to plug and play and get veterans and the whole thing and stay old. I've got all that. But you still need to have guys in the program, and this is what Mike wants to do with the program. And Mike, with a 7-year deal, is going to be able to do this. Get guys into the program that have a chance to be those long-term guys moving forward to help set the culture with the guys he already has in the program. But and I realize that the portal stuff, it happens. It is a fact of life. And you got to hit it right. in the portal. I mean, somebody came up to me and said, well, look at what South Florida's done. South Florida's in the American Conference. They're not in the Big Ten. You know how different the American Conference is now? No Cincinnati, no Houston, no UConn, right? No UCF. Come on. Right, that's nice. They're doing well in the American Conference. I'm really happy for them. That's great. I mean, I'm happy for them that they're doing well with it. But don't give me the example of an American Conference team and look at all the transfers they have. They're not out there playing in the Big Ten.
I was going to say, look at St. John's transfers. Rick Pitino threw them under the bus yesterday.
He did, and that was, yeah.
Not good.
No, it wasn't. So, not good at all. They don't move well. I think that was one of the things he said, right?
Yeah, they don't defend.
Yeah.
Didn't you recruit them, Rick?
Well, no. Well,
did you pick them? I guess.
Yeah, but you know what? I've talked to Mike about this. Right. When you're getting established players, they do bring the fact that they're established and that they've played against, for the most part, teams of a high level. Like, for example, DeMarco Dunn didn't play a lot, but he at least played in the ACC. Puff Johnson has played and scored in the Final Four. Okay? So you've got guys like that that have done it. Q's played in the Big East and in the Big Ten. Okay. But you're also, when you bring guys in mass from the outside, you're also inheriting the habits that they picked up along the way with them. And that's something that people don't realize. That they bring with them various cultures from other locker rooms. Some are great, some aren't great. They bring with them various habits that they picked up over time. Some great, some not so great. And you're trying to assimilate them into what, quote, your culture happens to be here. And that's not an easy thing to do when you have to do it in mass. It's different that, for example, when you bring somebody into a program and you already have established people and they add to the culture in their own way. That certainly can happen. But when you're coming together like that, and it's in mass like that, and I talked to Mike about this in July, I talked to him about it in October, I've talked to him about it in December, whatever. I've had a lot of time to talk with Mike about various things. Right? And I brought that up. I said there's a lot of, it's not a question of out there breaking somebody's habits, but there's a way you want to go about your business and why you're doing it. They're like, that's not how we did it someplace else. Like,
it's not how my mom does it.
No, I know it's not mine either. And you also have to figure out that you don't want to do square peg round hole either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a real delicate balance about that, but that's one of the issues that you have, and that's why last year. Like, again, when Micah came in, he had Lundy, he had Dredd, he had John Harry. You know, he had some guys that had been in the program, right? And they were all, all of them had opportunities to transfer, and they all stayed. And he ended up benefiting from it because his best player was John Harry's first year. And then, Pickett was coming on, but John was still the best player. And then last year, right? The five best players Penn State had, two of them were guys that were established parts of the program already. And right now, I mean, they have one freshman that's Broggy Goodmanson. And then, of course, Mike has he's got three already signed and one verbaled at this point. But long term, you're going to need guys like that. Doesn't mean you're going to keep all of them, but they then become long term parts of your program. where you're working every day on what you think are the proper habits for your program and your style of play. All right, we'll come back more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, better than $16.9 million raised for Thon. That brings it to about $211 million raised in 51 years. Man, you can't say enough about what the student body has done here to do everything that they have done to make people aware of this, to get the proper funds to make this happen. And it really is phenomenal, the response to it, because, again, it's for the kids. And Jack Ham and I, before every Penn State football home game, they always bring a Thon family for us to meet. Just tremendous people that have gone through so much. And thank goodness for Four Diamonds, because it has been an incredible lifesaver for all the people involved with it. And again, Jack and I get a chance to spend a decent amount of time with all the families at home games when they bring them over. And I know what it means to them and what Four Diamonds means to them, what Thon means to them, and that it's helped at least ease an awful time in their lives.